90.3 867 1190
Near FM.
God Talk with Anthony Brabazon, talking about Jesus, died, buried, risen, and relevant.
I want to go deeper.
As always, you're most welcome to God Talk. Anthony here, your host, for the next half hour. I hope you enjoyed our programme last week where we had Julie Carville, and she was speaking to us about a beautiful book for Ukrainian children that she has written. Of course, her website there is christianbooks.ie. You'll get all the details. But we're going to kick off the wee bit of music, and this is Nothing Beside Jesus.
Lord, we lie before thy feet. Look on all our deep distress. Thy rich mercy may we meet. Clothe us with thy righteousness. Stretch forth thy almighty hand. Hold us up and we shall stand. Lord, increase, increase our faith. Make us faithful in this land. May we know nothing. May we know nothing. May we know nothing beside Jesus. May we know nothing beside the Lord.
That, of course, was the distinctive sound of Young Oceans, a band who I'm very fond of, I have to say. Beautiful musically and lyrically very good too. Well, a few weeks ago we looked at a topic, and it was about recognising God's voice over the voice of the enemy, a perfect route out of stress. So there's many voices out there these days. If you had a number of radios and you tune them all into different stations and listen to them all at the one time, you'd make no distinction. It would just be one big noise. And our lives, as I was saying back then, very much like that. We need to focus in on one voice and let that be the voice of God. So on that topic of how do you hear God's voice, there was a previous episode going back about a year and a half or more where we had Paul in studio as well as Lizanne, and they were talking about this, talking about how to hear from God.
What would you say is the prerequisite to hearing from God? You know, what's the kind of first thing if you want to clear the decks to hear the voice of God?
Well, for me, basically the most important thing is the state of your heart. And it's like, I guess, like this morning, myself and Anthony, we were took the dog up to the forest, and it was a beautiful walk. And it just occurred to me, if before we went up, I had said to Anthony, "What would you like to do today?" And in my heart, I was thinking, "Gosh, I just hope he says, let's go to Enniskerry. But if he doesn't, maybe I can get some way around him to maybe go to Wicklow at least." Now, if I'd been thinking that and said to you, what would you like to do today? I have an ulterior motive. It's my motive. And I think one of the problems in hearing from God is that we'd all love to hear crystally clear from God. But it's like sometimes, like, the natural tendency is we have things that we want. So we're asking God, but we can sometimes have like, "But I'd like to hear this." And like, if you had said to me, "Oh, well, I think we'll go to Northern Ireland or something," you know, and try to get my own way a bit. So I think the big thing for me is to lay down our own will and to say to God, you know, like what Jesus said, obviously, "Not my will." And if we clear the decks of our own will, I think it makes it really much easier to hear what he wants.
So it's more than just asking God to validate what we've already decided.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of times when we're asking something like that of God that we really want to hear, it's about big things, life and death things it could be, or who to marry, or, you know, serious things.
Yeah. Wow. Gosh. I couldn't agree with you more, you know, in asking. You know, there has to be a genuineness about it, Paul, don't you think so?
Yeah.
You know, you can't be...
It's. I suppose it's what we said last week. It's really based on our it's relationship, isn't it? I mean, what you're talking about there, Lizanne, is your relationship. So it's your communication, and you want to please the other person, and you want to know what they want. And unless people are willing to talk, and unless the other party is willing to listen, there's not much going to happen. But I want to come back again to that quotation that I gave us last time. We kind of finished with this from my old pal Oswald Chambers, that great writer.
That's right.
And he says, when you're rightly related to God, he said, it's a life of freedom and liberty and delight. He says, you are God's will, and all your common sense decisions are his will for you unless he checks. You decide things in perfect, delightful friendship with God, knowing if your decisions are wrong, he will always check. When he checks, stop at once. And I know Lizanne was asking me something about that earlier on, weren't you, Lizanne? About
we're saying, what are checks?
Yeah. Good question.
What are they?
Yeah, how would you know a check, as you call it?
Well, you know, even just somebody that doesn't think about spiritual things at all, you decide to do something and something in you says, no, this isn't the right thing to do. The people will say, I didn't feel good about it. I had a gut feeling something was wrong. I was about to do it, and I just knew something was, like as if there was a kind of a stop sign up in front of me, or as if a sort of inside a barrier came down, and I felt a certain sense, no, you're not meant to do this.
Yeah, I was once driving a car in Terenure, and there was a funny confusion on the road signs about turning right. And I thought, I really wanted to turn right, you know, and there wasn't too many cars around. So I thought, sure, I'll turn right. But I didn't feel fully comfortable by turning right just there. And so lo and behold, didn't the police car pull me in and give me a few penalty points for my efforts? And, you know, so that was confirmation that I did have a check. I shouldn't have, you know, there was a feeling that. And yet
you said afterwards, I really knew I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And I mean, people will often say
this. Probably all have stories like that.
Yeah, about different situations. And they say afterwards, you know, I really knew something inside me said I shouldn't have done that. And this is not just for people who are believers. We were talking earlier on about common grace, you know. Yeah. God sends his rain on the just and on the unjust. The sun that's shining today is for everybody, whether they acknowledge the Creator or not. And the same way, God can give those checks, those leadings and those prompts to people who don't even acknowledge him. That's his grace.
Oh, life is full of great mysteries. And certainly, even when you walk with God, there's still great mysteries about having to discern the voice of the Lord. it's like a it's kind of like an exercise or a muscle that you develop, and over time people get more and more sensitive to hearing God's voice. And just to not have that prejudice when you're communicating with God is so important. So thank you very much, Lizanne and Paul, for that contribution. One of the great dilemmas, of course, today is the idea of being a Christian doesn't always mean a bed of roses. Of course, we have wonderful promises about a secure eternity with our wonderful Father in heaven, of having our sins forgiven. They're like the bedrock, and the knowledge of Jesus Christ as our friend and saviour. There's no replacement for that. But as we walk through this valley of tears, you might call it, there can be very difficult situations. And here in Sudan, I'm going to tell you a story. It came from David Turner's website, Church in Chains. It's a recent story. And it says that a Baptist couple from Al-Bagir in Gezira State, which is in Sudan, could face a punishment of 100 lashes after being charged with adultery because a Sharia court had annulled their marriage due to the husband's conversion to Christianity. Hamoud Taya Kafi, who's 34, and Nada Hamad Shurilak, who's 25, were Muslims when they married in 2016. But when Hamouda became a Christian in 2018, Nada's family sought and won a Sharia court decision to annul the marriage on the basis of his conversion. At the time, apostasy was a crime punishable by death, though it was decriminalised in 2020 following the ousting of Sudan's Islamist president Omar al-Bashir in 2019. Nada and the couple's two children went to stay with her family, but in 2021 she also converted to Christianity and returned to Hamouda with their children, whereupon her brother accused them of adultery. And police arrested Hamouda and Nada on the 17th of August 2021, and they were charged under Article 146 of Sudan's 1991 criminal law based on the Sharia court's annulment of their marriage. Article 146 calls for a sentence of flogging and expulsion from the area in case of adultery by an unmarried person, and death by stoning if the person is married. Nada and Hamouda were detained for 4 days before being released on bail, and their next case hearing has been scheduled for the 12th of May. Their lawyer stated, "The court has interrogated the couple after two of the witnesses told the court that the marriage between the couple is illegal, and as a result, they are accused of adultery under Article 146. But I told the court that their marriage is legal." He added that the couple is facing growing threats from hardline Muslims, in particular Nada's brother. As well as flogging, Hamoud faces the possibility of an additional punishment of a year in exile. Following the ousting of President Bashir in April 2019, advances in religious freedom made by the traditional government, including the abolition of the death penalty for apostasy, led to increasing hope for Christians who had suffered greatly during President Bashir's regime. In August 2021, however, a military coup plunged the country into chaos and led Christians to fear renewed persecution as the allies of the ousted president began to be released from prison and reappointed to positions of power. You can read more, of course, in Sudan's profile in the Church in Chains magazine.
Oh,
block of marble that became Michelangelo's most famous masterpiece, David, was a stone that had been discarded by several other sculptors. In carving out the statue, Michelangelo visualized the form of David in the rock and then set about removing everything from the block that was not his image of David. The English word character comes from the Greek word charakter, which literally means chisel. The word is used in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3, where it refers to Yeshua as the exact image, character, of the Father. And he, as a man, has been chiseled into the exact likeness of God our Father. Paul shows that as God communicates his infinite love to us, he also uses tribulation to shape our character and to conform us more into the image and likeness of Jesus. God is like a master sculptor who exploits the various events of life in this fallen world to remove and chisel away everything from us that does not fit in with the image and the likeness of Jesus. We also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. That was written in Romans chapter 5. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You'll find that in Romans 8. Recently, we heard someone say, God is more interested in our character than in our comfort. God's main task with us is to conform us to the image of his Son, and he will use absolutely everything that happens to accomplish this end. For this reason, believers should not be ashamed of suffering, as if it were an expression of lack of faith or of not being victorious, but can rejoice in tribulations while resisting the devil. In seasons of trial, believers need never be discouraged, but can learn to glory in tribulation. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Sometime we resist not only the devil, but every circumstance we do not like. In this way, we can hinder the Father's loving and careful chiseling us into the likeness of his Son. Paul calls this process the chastening or discipline of the Lord. It will go on throughout our lives, no matter how much faith we have. The result will be that we bear the character of Yeshua more. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom the Father does not chasten? You'll find that in Hebrews 12. God is using the tribulation of this present time, which you yourself are also experiencing, to form a people full of his character. From within the Lord's body worldwide, the world will see his image, the character of Yeshua, more perfectly in us. He works through literally everything to form the character of his Son in us as we yield. The character of Yeshua is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You'll find that one in John 17. That was put together by our good friends Paul and Nuala O'Higgins. And Paul and Nuala, if you're out there, give us a shout when you're back in Ireland, because we do want to talk to you and God talk. Great friends and great supporters. God bless you all. And we're going to move over to another piece of music. A wonderful piece here. And this is this is a song called He's Alive. And it is sung by our good old friend, Johnny Cash.
The gates and doors were barred and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness and jumped at every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow and half in fear that day would find the soldiers breaking through and drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gate began to rattle and the voice began to call. I hurried to the window, looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. But there was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. And John stood there beside me as she told us where she had been.
They moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there.
We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they had taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, just what I did not know. John believed the miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high. I had seen him crucify him, and I saw him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came. Everything I had promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choice, I had denied I knew his name. And even if he were alive, I know it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with strange sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. And Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. I fell down on my knees and I clung to him and cried.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. He's alive. He's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive.
What my God can do.
Seeing you say Johnny Cash, I thought I'd have to stick on Little Richard there as well. It is no secret what God can do. Little Richard, of course, passed away about 2 years ago, I think it was. But he had a love for Jesus, which was a great part of his story. So you have been listening to God Talk, and we're here every Monday, of course, at 5 o'clock. And I just hope you've been somewhat challenged by some of the stories in today's programme about persecution, about character formation, because God cares about not just the short term, happy clappy, looking after you, wrapping you in cotton wool. No. He wants his character formed in you. But the very first step is to come to Jesus Christ, come in brokenness and say, God, I've broken your law. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And I know, Jesus, when you died on the cross, all of those sins of all mankind, of all ages that you were carrying, part of that was me, my sin, my rebellion. And Lord, because of that, I know you fully paid for all of my sins. You know what? The gospel is as simple as that. God bless you all.
You've been listening to God Talk with Anthony Brabazon. Our 24/7 comment, prayer and text line is 087-979-5454. Until next week, may you seek him, may you find him, and may you love him.